Speaking of cheating or stealing from people, Kerry Peck is in our studio. Hello, Mr. Peck.
Hello, Dr. John. How are you today?
I'm not a physician. I'm a patient. I'm a patient man. Kerry is the elder law attorney who we talk about when we talk about senior citizens and their concerns, and really all of us, wills, estates, maybe somebody's cheating on mom or dad and you don't know what to do. Although really, what's the matter?
Nothing. I just want to share some great news with you.
Oh, okay. You go first.
My law firm, Peck Ritchie, has just been named the legal education partner of the Alzheimer's Association.
I'm not surprised to hear that. I know you work with that organization a lot.
So we do.
What does that mean you're going to do?
It means we're going to do speeches for them, legal education programs. We're going to write articles for their newsletter. And we're going to continue to grow the long-term partnership that the law firm has had. You were kind enough to attend and introduce me last year about this time when both the law firm and I were honored by the Alzheimer's Association for our work.
Where was that? Was that the Four Seasons?
It was at the Four Seasons, and I must say you looked great in a tuxedo.
I had to find one. So what's the law say about people with Alzheimer's or dementia that would surprise me or that I need to know?
Well, I think what you need to know and what your listeners need to know is that when someone's diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease or any form of dementia, number one on the list is their medical care, unequivocally. But number two, just behind number one, needs to be get your estate planning in order. Because we all know that Alzheimer's disease and forms of dementia will cause your loved one, your relative, to at some point be unable to make decisions. And we want them to make decisions for themselves and for the family when they're capable of making those decisions. So the answer is act now.
Well, as you and I know, my parents are still alive. I am lucky, and they are that way, although some days nobody's lucky that they are still on. It just depends on the day that they're having. But my dad has been diagnosed with early onset dementia, which to me doesn't look radically different than my dad for the last 10 years or maybe the next 10. Because the point being that it's a very gray and gradual thing. So when my dad said, they told me I have dementia, I'm like, well, duh, of course you do. You're 96 and you've been losing your memory all along, as we all have. My point being, Kerry, at what point does that become a legal issue? When do we get to say we're going to make decisions on your behalf? How does that switch get flipped?
Well, the switch gets flipped in a lot of different ways. You alluded to it a few minutes ago, and that is certainly we see people that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and some form of dementia being financially exploited. Certainly when that switch flips, using your phraseology, immediately that needs to be addressed. Often we need to go into court to determine whether or not mom or dad are capable of making their own decisions. So what I really want to urge your listeners today is we'd like to avoid going to court to have mom or dad declared literally what's called a disabled person in Illinois, and at the determination that they're no longer capable of making their own decisions regarding the management of their money and or their medical care. And the only way we can avoid going to court is to have mom or dad sign documents while they still have the mental capacity to do it.
But that's confusing to me, because if they have the mental capacity to do it, then they can't have dementia or Alzheimer's. They have the mental capacity to do that.
No, I think that it may be confusing, and let's clarify it, okay? First of all, it's going to be a doctor's determination, upon which then the legal profession and the judges rely.
So my parents sign a document that says that if a doctor deems me to have dementia, I therefore cede my supervision to one of my kids.
You can sign a document that says either I want my son John to make decisions for me effective immediately, or I want my son John to make decisions for me when I'm no longer capable of making decisions. And at that point in time, you're going to have a doctor take a look at dad and say, you know what, I'm sorry, but dad can no longer make decisions.
I think a lot of families don't sign a document. They don't go to a doctor. But as their parents or grandparents fade into the memory distance, they simply make decisions on their behalf. They say, Dad, we're going to pay your electric bill now, okay? Okay, boom. And you now have de facto begun managing their affairs.
But the family will get along, the children will get along, as long as the son is paying Dad's electric bill. But when the son starts paying his mortgage with Dad or Mom's money, that's when the explosion occurs.
I think this is also a scenario. Mom and Dad, maybe they don't need a new washer or dryer, but damn it, the washer and dryer where they are isn't working. Well, that's going to cost $1,300, and I've decided we're going to do it, but the other three don't think we should do it. So who has the right of way there, Carrie?
Well, Mom or Dad, when they can make decisions, have the right of way. When they can't, if Mom or Dad executed a power of attorney, in Illinois we have two types of powers of attorney. It's a document naming someone else to make decisions for you when you're not capable. And it comes in two flavors. One is a medical flavor, and one is a property management flavor. Now, again, John, you're right. Most people don't do this. That's why I'm urging your listeners to take care of this when they can do it.
Okay, so that would be the parents assigning the responsibility to one of the kids.
Right.
And then the other kids have to live with the decisions that one person makes.
I agree with you, but it should be a family decision.
Well, what's the family decision?
Well, I think the family has to sit down and have a discussion. Mom or Dad certainly are going to ultimately make the decision.
Wait, they're going to make the decision about which of the kids has the power of attorney, or...
Correct. Okay. Becomes agent under the power of attorney.
Okay, fine, but then... The decision about the washer-dryer isn't up to the four kids anymore. It's up to that one individual.
Correct. Correct.
Well, I don't think that's going to satisfy everybody.
Well, it may not satisfy everybody, but I'm telling you, to avoid a dispute exploding and ending up in the circuit court of whatever county you live in, Cook County, DuPage County, Lake County, etc., this is what the proper methodology is.
Have we broken a law, then, if we don't do any of that? But one of us has just decided to use Mom or Dad's checking account to make purchases that are in their best interest.
You haven't broken the law, provided you're on that account.
Oh, no, we're not. Well, maybe we are, maybe we aren't. That matters, huh?
It matters a lot. If you're not on the account, then yes, you're breaking the law. What are you doing, forging Mom or Dad's signature?
No, we bought them a washer and dryer. I don't know. We transferred money from their account to the store. We used their credit card to buy it and then paid it off.
Somebody signed a credit card. You can only act on behalf of someone if you're authorized to act.
I'm making some of this up, you understand, but I don't think the scenarios I'm describing are unique.
I think they're very common, and that's why, again, I sound like a broken record. We need to take care of these issues before they explode.
Okay, so you're asking the people... All right, but... At what age should a person do that? We're on the cusp of falling into such dementia that you can no longer make decisions on your behalf, or should you do it as a 60-year-old when you are making out your will?
Unequivocally, you should do it when a 60-year-old when you're making out your will, and you should immediately do it if your mental capacity, the doctor said, you know what, Carrie, I think you have early onset dementia.
Okay, but if I have 25 or 30 years of clear mental sailing, I would guess, it seems very premature. You would say go ahead and already establish that sort of documentation?
Well, why is it premature to the extent that none of us know what our health is going to be like around the corner?
Because none of us knows what the decisions are going to be down the road. You're asking me to today set up one of my kids as that agent.
I am asking you to do that so that, God forbid, you have a stroke you become paralyzed in an automobile accident. You have in place a method that your child is making decisions for you, and we can avoid going into court.
Oh, is that what this is all about?
Yeah, this is all about, you know, do you want the court to make a determination as to who's in charge of your life, okay? Or do you want to make that decision when you're capable of making that decision?
I guess it would also preempt then the siblings fighting, the kids fighting about these things.
The kids may always fight, but I think that it will reduce potentially the fighting.
Here's some questions from our listeners. Do you have a question along these lines for Kerry Peck. He's in our studio, 312-981-7200. We'll pause here. Some of that's my world, some of that's me making it up, but I'll bet that's part of your world. What's your question for Mr. Peck here? 312-981-7200. 309 says, does this take a signed document from a doctor, or can a notary simply affirm the paperwork?
A power of attorney can be executed and signed in front of a notary. Okay. A doctor determination may be necessary later to determine when that document becomes effective. Again, we have a decision to make when we sign that document. I name you agent to manage my money, John. Should I do it effective immediately, or should that document be effective when that doctor says, Kerry, you can't make decisions and John's in charge?
So I can weave that into the language of the thing now.
Correct.
Okay. We were talking about the sort of rights that seniors have and that maybe their children have as they try and manage their affairs when they get older. And if I thought the only way for mom and dad to pay for their expenses is a reverse mortgage, would... And they weren't competent to understand or make that decision, but I knew they were sitting on some equity, Kerry. Would that require some extra legal work to begin to help them draw down their equity in their house?
If they didn't authorize one of the children to engage in that type of transaction, then yes, we'd likely have to go into court, have one of the kids appointed guardian to make decisions for mom or dad, and then thereafter they'd be authorized to make those decisions.
Something as big as that, where you said, now we're going to start to take the $300,000 in the house they've lived in for the last 40 years, and we're going to use that money to pay their medical expenses, which makes great sense to me. If I had power of attorney, if I was the agent to manage their finances, I could begin to do that?
You could do that, yes, you can do that.
This is Sherry. You're on WGN Radio with Kerry Peck. Sherry, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Kerry. I have a question. My father was just recently, within the last month, diagnosed with dementia. But in lots of ways, he seems fine. So I believe it's kind of on a spectrum, but he was diagnosed through a neurologist. What I would like to know is capacity a thing that is judged on a spectrum? In other words, he does not have all the appropriate documents in place, the estate documents. He does have a will, but that's it. So I'm wondering if it is it too late to have him make these types of judgments? Or, like, is it on a spectrum, or is it the doctor's call? Like, how does that work?
Ultimately, it is on the spectrum. It's a good term, and it may be the doctor's call as well. What we do in my law firm is we meet with the older adult and or family, if that's what they want, and we assess mm-hmm. whether, based upon our combined 100 years plus experience, Dad has the capacity to sign. If we believe Dad has the capacity to sign, we'll prepare the documents and execute them in accordance with the law, which is a notary and two witnesses. If we have concerns about Dad's capacity, we're going to ask the neurologist that just diagnosed him to give us a written opinion on Dad's capacity to sign legal documents.
Okay, that's perfect. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks for the call. You bet. If I have over $100,000 in a brokerage account, 630 said, I have over $100,000 in a brokerage account with designated beneficiaries, does that avoid probate?
It does. $100,000 threshold that your listener is referring to does require a post-death probate proceeding, but only if those assets are in your name alone. With a beneficiary, you can avoid that probate proceeding.
Hey, John Williams, my brother and I are the second beneficiary on mom's life insurance policy, but we don't know who was the first, and we can't find the documents of her policy either. Is there anything we can do to get a copy of her life insurance policy? Is there like a general warehouse key government agency that has everybody's insurance policy on file?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm not aware that is something you can reach out to. I would suggest you contact the Illinois Department of Insurance and see if they have some ideas. If you have no insight in terms of what company then unfortunately I suggest you start writing letters to all the various big companies.
Big ones. Is there a statute of limitations? Like if the first beneficiary isn't identified after 7 years, then it goes to the second beneficiaries?
Well, it's up in large measure to what the policy says. So, you know, it's a difficult question without seeing the policy.
I just have a will, but not a trust. In the will, I added my I-bonds, POD beneficiary, to my grandchildren. Will the I-bonds still go to probate since it's not in a trust?
If the I-bonds are payable on death, that's a POD, and you've named the grandchildren, then no, they avoid probate.
John, I have a will, and I recently found out I have a son I knew nothing about. Should I update my will?
Well, you should update your will in large measure to determine if you want your son to inherit. If you don't want your son to inherit, you should put in the will, I have a son, John Doe, and I don't wish to provide for him, or alternatively, I do wish to provide. So, yes, you'll avoid a lot of problems by putting in the will your wishes regarding this new son.
But if that new son is not in the will, but they can prove they're your son, then don't they automatically participate in the estate and the inheritance?
No, they only participate if you don't have a will. In Illinois, you can disinherit your children.
Okay, so pardon me, but I've made a will out, and I said Joe gets something and Bob gets something, and we didn't know about John. John comes along, but since the will is going to supersede his heritage, his being my son.
Except that what the dangling issue here is, that son has the ability to contest that will. And that son's right to contest that will be virtually eliminated by John Doe saying, I have a son, Sam, I just became aware of it. I don't want him to inherit.
815 says, John, I've been a hospice chaplain for 23 years, and I can tell you firsthand what your attorney guest is saying is so true. It is so important to make these decisions sooner rather than later.
Well, I think that's great. And I want to go back to the last question. If that individual does not have a will, that son is going to inherit under the laws of intestacy.
So now the siblings who didn't know that they have a sibling here may
give up a third of dad's assets by not having it provided for in a will.
Okay, but too bad for them. I mean, it would seem to me, I don't know anything about this family or the circumstances. Maybe there's a reason not to include the newfound son in equal measure with everybody else. But he is, by law, entitled to every bit as much as the children that were raised in that family, right?
If that's what dad wants, okay? And if dad wants it that way, he should say it that way. If he doesn't want it that way, he should say it that way. Again, if he dies without a will, that child's getting a third. And I want to thank the chaplain for calling in and listening because he's in a position to see these problems every single day.
Okay, we're out of time. 224 said, can I make an appointment to get advice? I have all the powers in place, but I could use some advice about selling my mom's house and other aspects of managing her estate. The initial consultation with your firm is free, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Carrie Peck's number is 312-201-0900. PeckRitchie.com is the website. Congratulations to the Peck Ritchie Law Firm for being designated by the Alzheimer's Association as their education arm. Good on you guys.
Thank you very much, John. Always a pleasure to be here.
Carrie, you help us so much. Thank you for coming into the studio today.